Welcome to Mudimo Awaaz, a podcast presented by Musico. I'm your host Mohua. On this podcast, we will talk to dreamers, unsung heroes who have broken the rules as they swam against the current and renewed their vows to themselves as individuals. The believers who have been crazy to start ventures that have made a difference to society and the lives they've touched with their magnanimity and knowledge. As for me, I was in the communications business in a leadership role and also been a homemaker. The slow death of my self-confidence that went unnoticed over the years, when self-worth was based on the validation I sought from others. Quoting the author Elif Shafak, "Do not go with the flow, be the flow." Hi, in this episode, we have Atika Ahluwalia. Atika has been actively speaking out on domestic violence, and in this episode, we'll talk about gender, her association with the brand Ina Ahluwalia, and the design concept and the impact of this pandemic on women in abuse and what prompted her to start talking about it. Welcome in this show, Atika, and please tell me, where did it begin and what was the starting point?
Hi, Mahua. Thanks so much for having me here. So this started with my experience of domestic violence almost a decade ago. I was in a domestic partnership with somebody that I trusted and loved. And I very soon into the relationship figured out that this was an abusive relationship. And luckily enough for me, I was able to get out soon enough. I did take him to court. But as soon as, the court case got over and I was back on track on trying to rebuild my life, I knew I had to talk about this because, we always are under the impression, I was at least under this naive impression that there is a certain kind of person that is, that undergoes or experiences domestic violence. You have this image of a meek, cowering, I used to think it would be somebody financially dependent on, another person, or maybe not that educated. And I was none of that. I was, well-traveled, global in my outlook. I was financially independent, and it still happened to me. So I realized that we need to, A, ensure that, we can avoid getting into long-term partnerships or domestic partnerships with people if we are able to see the red flags, number one. Number two is we should be able to believe women when they talk about, having experienced domestic violence, because there is no one face of a survivor and there is no one face of an abusive personality. So for these two main reasons, I really wanted to talk about it. And I guess things really didn't come together. I didn't know how. It was never like the perfect setting to talk about something as grave as this until the Me Too movement in 2018. So in 2018, when women started talking about their experience, I was like, okay, this is the right time to talk about it. And I just put out my story and that's how it all started.
How was the impact among your social circle and among, your family? Did they, were they empathetic towards you? Because how many years did it take you to start talking about it? After how many years?
So the thing is, I started talking about it immediately to my immediate circle because, in fact, my sister is the one who helped me realize that I needed to distance myself from the situation to gain perspective of what had happened and what was happening to me. So I am extremely blessed and lucky and extremely privileged to have a very, very, very supportive family. And so within my family, it was, there was no blame game. There was complete acceptance. And they were just so nourishing and so supportive in even me wanting to pursue a case against my abuser. But then I have encountered a whole range of, reactions to it. So I've had a very close friend saying, are you sure you don't want to reconcile? After I said that this person literally, pinned me against the wall and tried to choke me, I've had that reaction. I've had, reactions like, she was so outgoing and outspoken. She must have done something wrong. She must have provoked him. Of course, my abuser and his family, that was the go-to, argument or defense that she provoked him, et cetera, et cetera. So there's been a lot of reactions, but mostly, I must say, it's been a whole lot of support. Again, this is almost a decade ago. I found a lot of support amongst my elders than in my peers because I come from a city like Calcutta, and I believe that Calcutta wasn't at that point that open to, situations that are different from the norm. So I
don't think any city in India that way, I mean, or I think world over, you know, where your immediate family can, you know, will probably accept you if you're very fortunate. Yeah. But friends around you, because I, like you said, that they have so many masks that they carry, you know, when they're outside, that I don't think it is related to a city, but it would be all across the world. Women have issues in speaking up about it, you know,
absolutely.
Because we are conditioned to believe that there is something that is that we have done wrong, you know, to have undergone any sort of abuse. So tell me
Absolutely.
Something now that you've started this whole thing about voicing out. Are you reaching out to women all across India, or is this like a project that you're working on only specifically to Bangalore right now, or to the metro cities?
So coming to Bangalore, actually, this is why I wanted to make a really important point. In Calcutta, for example, when people knew me and there was a history to me, people were quick to, maybe people my age were quick to judge. When I came to a city like Bangalore, because I was new to the city and there was no history to me, people were more accepting of my experience. You know, this is one very vital difference that I saw. Now, talking about where I talk about domestic violence, I talk about it on Instagram. I talk about it on my sister and business partner's, brand page and all her brand communication. And the reason is domestic violence is not really limited to any one city, and no one city should be, you know, should be the only place that I can talk about it, right? We live in an online society. I can do a podcast with someone in New York, and our experience of domestic violence can be exactly the same, right? So,
Absolutely. So
I just believe that put your story out there, whether it's, with your neighbor, whether it's your friend, whether it's your, male friend, female friend, whether it's on a podcast, whether it's on a video, whether it's on a little story on Instagram or a post shared, you know, we need to have more meaningful conversations. And my whole philosophy is to not really look at how, beautifully packaged the story is. It's just put your story out there, because the truth attracts the right kind of audience. You have women who will, seek you out once you start speaking your truth. And if they seek you out and if you're able to connect, you will be able to get your message out better.
So, you know what, I think I find myself, because on this podcast, I've had so many women from, from all across India who have come forward and they've shared their stories, you know, where of abuse, of, you know, of a father not wanting a daughter and wanting a son, and then the atrocity and the mental and the emotional, you know, residue that it left behind. But one thing that I often find myself saying this to every person on this show, almost, you know, is this, that in India, we live in such an insulated, society where, you know, if in your neighbor's house, if somebody is getting beaten up, none of us really go out there and help the person. We are so quick to judge, you know, that, oh my God, there would be a cop case. There would be, you know, probably the woman is at fault.
Oh,
and this is, we talk about a family system. And I think we're so lousy when it comes to this, because, in a family would uphold the values of being knit together. But we are so insulated that even within the family and, you know, in a joint house, if you have joint families, because India is not just the metropolitan cities. I mean, you have the tier two towns where probably, if the elder brother's wife is getting beaten up, you know, the younger brother's wife will not support. So how do you think that this can be addressed? I mean, are the courts and the legal system that you reached out to, was it an easy process for you? And was it easy because, you know, we come from a privileged background where we both are sitting to and talking to each other? There would be so many people out there who wouldn't have a voice. So what's your take on that?
Absolutely. You know, we're a culture of convenience. If it's convenient,
Absolutely.
We want to see it. If it's inconvenient, we just don't want to see it. And we love pushing things under the carpet. Absolutely. And, I'll tell you about my court experience. And before I tell you about that, I want to tell you that not everyone is privileged enough to have the financial or the emotional bandwidth to go to court, because court cases in India are long, tedious, and harrowing. Also, even when I was about to do the case, even though my immediate family was so supportive and they encouraged me to do what I needed to do, I had, you know, we in fact had a lot of people telling us the opposite. Don't do it, cut your losses and leave, right? I don't understand why we as a society believe that cutting our losses is more important than justice. Today, I can sit here and feel right in my stomach because I took action. And this is what I tell every survivor. If you do not use the judicial system and let it assist you when a crime has been committed against you, don't expect the country to change. Don't expect laws to reform. If you want to cut your losses and leave, I understand. Some people do not have the bandwidth. It takes a lot out of you. But if you do have the bandwidth, I seriously encourage you to, move court. Because in India, you will be very familiar with this during the Me Too movement had happened. Whenever someone reported someone, people, the first line of defense was, why didn't you go to court? Why didn't you report in court? Now, when you do take someone to court in India, number one, you are also questioned on why did you take this guy to court? Why did you, ask for compensation? Why did you spoil your child's life? Does your child deserve to suffer like that? You've brought shame to your family. Now, I have not heard any of these things because, like I said, I'm privileged. However, this is the reality for most of people who go to court in India. Also, the laws in India are pro-women as of now. However, just because the laws are pro-women does not mean the situation and the experience is pro-women.
Society is not pro-women, at a very, very deep level.
Absolutely.
You know, you have women, your own friends who can sometimes judge because they don't want to look beyond the obvious. You know, because a husband or a boyfriend sometimes is really, really nice when he's in a social gathering.
Absolutely.
And he's a different demon or a
animal.
Like I said, in the bedroom,
An abusive personality does not come with two red horns and a red trident, okay? They are usually extremely charming, and if not extremely charming, absolutely normal and ordinary, right? Like in my case. I myself was friends, very, very, very close friends with my abuser before I got into a domestic partnership with him. And I was a very close friend for 3 to 4 years.
So you did not see any of the signs?
No, as a friend, I did not. And that's the mind-blowing part, because if it had stayed at friendship, if somebody else had come up to me and said, this person is an abusive personality, I would have been like, are you sure? Are you sure? So I've actually experienced the same person as a friend, a respectful friend, as a partner, the red flags began to show, and then as a domestic partner. And that's when the full-on abuse happens. So this is the nuance of an abusive personality. They will show their true colors only when they feel that they have you in a corner.
They are in control. When they are in control.
Absolutely. When you're a friend, you're not in their control, right? And you have a voice in society. When you are in a domestic partnership, your respect, your honor is tied to their, their respect and honor, or at least that's what we believe in India. And that's when most of the abusive personalities turn around and show their true colors.
So, Atika, for how many years did you go through the violence, and how long did it take you to really come to terms with the fact that this needs to end?
So, again, extremely lucky that way. I got into a domestic partnership with him, and within 8 months, I left. Because I think the abuse started 1 month into the domestic partnership. And, as intelligent or worldly wise or, street smart as we consider ourselves to be, 10 years ago, we did not talk about domestic violence the way we talk about it now. So I didn't realize that it was happening to me. It was small, subtle things that my sister actually picked up on. And this one incident that happened, she literally came to my doorstep and took me home. And it was only when I removed myself from the situation and I started telling my family what all had been done to me that the gravity of the abuse started coming through. So again, I consider myself very privileged to have such a supporting family that I had to experience it only for 8 months. But when I took my abuser to court, it went on for around 3 years. And, the court procedures are a different level of abuse. I was featured in the Vogue magazine before that as brand head of Ina Ahluwalia. And printouts of the magazine was, shown in court to somehow prove that I was of loose character because I worked in the fashion industry. I'll give you small examples. I was told by my lawyers to not wear specs and not to keep my hair open so I didn't look too smart in front of the judge. You know, I was supposed to project like this, abusable image almost. But what I don't understand is, what is an abusable image? You know, there is no one look of a person who could be experiencing domestic violence. I have seen models, I've seen housewives, I've seen, you know, women in Wall Street who have experienced domestic violence, and, you know, there is no one look. It could happen to anyone.
And, you know, Atika, somewhere, you know, when I'm sitting and talking to you, I also feel that the stronger a woman is, the more intimidating it is for a man. You know, I mean, we're talking about men, like you said, from 10 years before, because now I would like to believe that there's so much exposure in the media about, you know, equality in gender. And I do believe, and I'm very positive about it, that we are experiencing change today, you know, in society. But then I also feel that the minute a woman is stronger, she's, you know, she's looked as a manipulative person. I've faced that on my own, you know, where they would like to believe that, you know, I would manipulate a situation. And you know, I'm one of those people who take things as it is, you know, and I would not ever manipulate any situation for my benefit to harm anyone else. But just because you come across as somebody, I'm from a city like Delhi and I grew up there and, you know, I worked in the media business, and they would, if you were to ever talk to people, they would always look at you. If you're confident and you're intelligent and you know your way around, you're definitely a threat to even an educated man. Do you think this is also true for you? And did you face that with your colleagues or, you know, people that you met outside? Because so many women who are really established, you know, in their professional world, or they do not even go out and speak about it, but it is so... there is this whole underlying voice that is not heard, but she's looked down upon, you know. And there are, you know, abuse can be, it can be divided in so many ways. One is physical abuse, the other is emotional abuse. Of course, emotional abuse, nobody even talks about. And it's a topic that I definitely want to crusade on, you know, because I know so many family members who have lost their health and their mind living with people who have emotionally abused them.
Absolutely.
So coming back to this, Atika, did you face this because you thought that you were smarter? Did you try to dumb yourself down to hold on to the relationship?
Oh, that's a beautiful point, and I've actually never thought of it. But now that you say it, I think in India, we are brought up to kind of make things work, right?
Absolutely. That's why.
Yes. Not at the cost of abuse. For me,
abuse again, you know, yes. Abuse again, Atika, is so, it's so, you know, it's such a huge subject, because somebody who probably just slapped you once, you know, you would probably go back, and if you told even some of your friends and say, you know, ek hi baar to hua hai, koi baat nahi, agli baar nahi karega.
You know, and all, because I talk about abuse, a lot of women approach me to just hear them out. Now, in all the cases that I've heard so far,
And what are the kind of stories that you hear?
I'll tell you. So around 20% of it would be physical abuse. 80% of it would be emotional abuse, right? And they focus on the 20%, not understanding that the 80% is as harmful as the physical abuse, right? So the kind of stories I hear.
I think it is even more harmful. I mean, both are equally harmful. They are equally harmful.
But abuse. You cannot say, you know, this abuse is more abusive than that abuse.
Oh, yeah. I take that back. I agree with you.
You know, all abuse is abusive. And I think the stories that I hear are all the same. You know, at some level, they're all the same. There could be minute, you know, detailed differences, but it all starts out with, you know, there's a pattern. There is the beginning, which is love bombing, you know, sweeping you off your feet. There's, you know, this person is so perfect for me. And I don't want to genderize it, because a woman can also be abusive towards a man. But it always starts with love bombing, being the perfect personality. It's all about you, what you want. The minute you are in their control, the true personality comes out, and it starts with emotional manipulation. It starts with control. It starts with gaslighting. And then it goes into, you know, intimidation, small minor threats, you know, putting you, making, controlling different parts of your life, who you should meet, who you should not meet, whether you should work, whether you should not work, what kind of work you should do, who you should talk to. Control is one of the biggest red flags you can ever see in a person. And if you see this as a red flag, if you do recognize control, I would advise that you get the hell out of there as soon as possible. Of course, easier said than done, because a lot of people, by the time that they see the control, they don't even see the...
They're so into it.
And the gaslighting, you don't even see, right? So gaslighting is something that I
would really like you to talk a little bit about gaslighting.
Sure.
Because I think as a term, when I've spoken to so many people, they do not even understand the meaning of the word gaslighting.
Right.
So Atika, please tell the listeners about gaslighting.
Sure. So the term gaslighting actually comes from an old black and white movie called Gaslight. And the whole, the idea or the meaning of the term is to undermine your, you know, sense of reality, and to make you feel like your sense of reality is completely wrong, and what the abuser is trying to make you believe is right. So I'll give you a couple examples. I could say something really nasty to you, and then tomorrow when you say, you know, I really didn't like when you said that, I would say, I never said that. You must be imagining things, you know. So you slowly start making this person second guess themselves. You know, have I started hearing things? Am I imagining things? Is my memory failing me? You know, you actually literally start believing that you're going a bit mad, you know. So a couple of signs of being gaslit is if you feel the need to record conversations, you know, just to hold on to the fact that you're not imagining things. Or if somebody is constantly telling you, I didn't say that, I never meant that, it was just a joke, you know, undermining your sense of reality. So even if you're feeling upset, you're being upset for no reason. You're overreacting, not giving due credit to your feelings. What we must all understand is our feelings are valid. Whether they're positive feelings or negative feelings, our feelings are valid. Anybody, when you trust someone enough to express your feelings and be vulnerable with them, if they come back and invalidate your feeling, you are being gaslit. Right? So a lot of us are gaslit to the point that we just stop being confident women. Our gaslighting is one of the prime tools to hack down your self-esteem, which in turn makes you stay in abusive relationships. You know, because...
And they stay forever.
Possibly.
Yeah, because you know what? And I think here, you know, economic independence plays such a huge role, because, you know, if you're not economically independent, you would never be able to also leave, because it becomes like, you know, the children's fees are there and, you know, there's a whole home that you're running. So, you know, and why gaslighting needs to stop, you know, when you're being gaslit, you need to kind of raise your hand and say, stop, you know. That's something that I think, you know, Atika, with your work ahead and with people like us who are, because I do a lot of writing also on gender, I would like to really think that we need to talk a lot more about all these issues.
Absolutely.
What are the other things, Atika, you'd like to share with us, you know, that you think would reach out to women who do not know how to go out there and report, you know,
right.
violence?
Right.
Yeah, so are there any phone numbers? Is there a body that you think, you know, that people can go to? How does one go about it?
So there's a lot of standard, you know, organizations like the NCW, the National Commission of Women, that you can reach out to. All that information is available online. However, what I find very, very useful is connect with a survivor. Seek out survivors. Seek out someone who's been through this before, because they'll actually be able to empathize with you enough. What I hear time and time again is when you go to an organization, sure, they may be able to help, but there's a level of empathy that is missing. There's a level of patience that is missing. So all of that information is available online. Feel free to seek help from them. However, I highly recommend seeking out survivors, because I have seen magic happen when one person coming out of the situation or in the situation connects with a survivor. You know, it's like someone, your future you being able to counsel and mentor you into coming out. It's going to do wonders. We have mentorship in the corporate system, right? We have mentorship in the startup community. But I've seen women who come out of abusive relationships, who have zero self-esteem, who don't know why they are crying out of love for the person that they have just lost. They beat themselves up further for feeling this way for someone who's abused them. An organization doesn't exactly tend to these nuances of, you know, the emotional journey that a survivor goes through, but a survivor will understand. And I've seen women transform under the mentorship. And I say mentorship, but it's really just support and just hearing them out and being there and understanding and not judging them for the journey that they're going through, because it's an emotional roller coaster. So I would say seek out survivors. You can always contact me on Instagram. Seek me out. There's a lot of other survivors out there. Seek them out. And also, one more really important piece of advice is find your tribe, you know, because not everyone is going to support you. Your old friends may not support you. Some of them may, some of them may not. Your entire family may not support you. Instead of feeling terrible about the people that don't support you, my advice from my experiences, seek out people who will and connect with them. You know, we do not need toxicity in our life when we are at a low. We need positivity. We need support and encouragement. Seek out people who will do that for you.
Thank you so much, Atika, for being on my episode today, for being on this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Atika. So please, would you just repeat the handle for your Instagram and your social media links so that if any of the listeners, I'm sure there would be so many out there who would relate to all the things that you've spoken about or some things that you've spoken about, how can they reach out to you?
Thank you so much. So on Instagram, I'm Atika_Ahluwalia. It's AtikaA_Ahluwalia. You can also follow Ina Ahluwalia @ EinaAhluwalia, because we actually put out a lot of content on domestic violence, including makeup tutorials where I put on makeup and talk about the signs and the red flags and, you know, signs of abuse and domestic violence. So I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you so
much. Thank you, Mohua. It's been lovely.
Thank you, Atika.